I was going to use my phone, but I left my phone at home, so just bear with me. Good morning, church. Good morning. See. Father, we thank you this morning for another opportunity to gather around your word. We just ask that your spirit will come and take charge. Anoint us to speak and anoint us with ears to hear and speak to our hearts and change our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are our King, you are our God. We want to worship you this morning. We want to glorify you. We want to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand. And take hold of your promises, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I would like to start my message this morning with a short proclamation, as I like to do. So if you open your Bible with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we're going to read it together. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. If you're there, say yeah. Yes. Praise the Lord. Okay. Acts chapter 2, whatever version you've got, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." Shall we take it together? "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." Let's do it again. "And now, brethren, commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified." Praise the Lord. Today, I'd like to talk to us briefly about our inheritance in Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, we have an inheritance that God has given us in Christ, and just want to take a few moments to talk to us about that today. So if you turn your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. That's going to be our main text for what I want to say today. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 3 to about 21, if that's okay. Yeah. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, in that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we who were the first to trust in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you, having believed, you were sealed. Hallelujah. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the pledge, the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the glory of God, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks and make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Hallelujah. According to the working of his mighty power. Praise the Lord. I'll stop there. Let me see who's awake. I hope I haven't sent you to sleep. How many times did you see the word inheritance mentioned or hear the word inheritance mentioned? Twice? Three. Molly is right. The word inheritance is mentioned three times there in what I just read. Praise the Lord. So, just getting my notes in order. Let's start with a definition. What is an inheritance? No mumbling. Just put your hands up if you want to say. Yes, Louis. Amen. Praise God. Whatever belongs to me from my forefathers. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Didn't work for it. Yeah. That's a very good one. Yes. Pass down. Your bet, right? That's a good one. Anyone else? Praise God. Okay, so I've got a short definition here. It says, is the practice of receiving private property, titles, debts, entitlements, privileges, rights, and obligations upon the death of an individual. Praise the Lord. And it goes into a bit more detail. In the UK, for example, you know, people normally receive inheritance through a will by someone officially giving them or bequeathing. There's the legal word called to bequeath, you know, to give. Private property or debt that can be performed via the testator or via will, or notary, or by any other lawful means. Praise God. What does the Bible say about inheritance? Anyone? Any takers? Right. There's a Greek word, I'm not a good student of Greek, but there's a Greek word called kleros, which basically means a lot, which is assigned, an allotment, a farm, or an inheritance. The Greek word is kleros, kleros. And just want to ask, you know, how many of you has an inheritance or an allotment? Anyone here with who has an allotment? Where's Joe? Joe, you didn't want to put your hand up. Well, just to give us a bit of understanding, it's like, you know, a piece of land, an allotment where you plant your, you know, that you've, you know, there's an example in the Bible of, is it Naboth, you know, who Ahab wanted to take his father's inheritance from him and said, give me your vineyard, you know. So the picture of an inheritance is a piece of land, an allotment, a farm. And, you know, just put that in your spirit, in your mind, you know, that we have an allotment in Christ. We have a portion. We have an inheritance in Christ. And that's what I want us to talk about briefly, you know, today. So going back to the verse that we just read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says that in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, an allotment, an assigned lot, a farm, a portion. We have obtained through Christ an allotment, having been predestined according to the counsel of him who works all things according to his will. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about, you know. We have an allotment in Christ. God has chosen us. We have been designed to inherit everything that God is as our portion and as our inheritance. That means that we have become God's inheritance, and God, on the other hand, we inherit him as our inheritance. Everything that God is belongs to us. Everything that Christ has belongs to us because we are part of his family. Praise the Lord. You don't sound very excited. This is much bigger than any piece of land. Hallelujah. It says that in Christ, those of us who have trusted in verse 12, it says that we who first trusted in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him also you trusted after you believed the word of the truth, the good news of your salvation. And after you believed, you were sealed. Hallelujah. When we believe the gospel, we are saved. We are saved by faith, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. To be sealed basically means that we are marked with God's seal of ownership. The Holy Spirit in us is a living seal that we belong to God, that we are God's portion. I like the way the psalmist, you know, says in Psalm 73, says that God is my portion. You know, God is my portion. Hallelujah. We become God's portion, and God puts his Holy Spirit in us to say, this one is belong. Just like what we were singing, that's my king. We're declaring he's our king, and he's declaring, that's my child, that's my son. I've put my Holy Spirit in him to say, don't touch this one because he belongs to me. And it says in verse 13 that the Holy Spirit of promise is a pledge of our inheritance. What is a pledge? A promise? Anyone else? A commitment? In some Bibles, it says a foretaste, a guarantee. How many have ever bought a house here? I'm sure it'd be a lot of us here. When you buy a house, normally you put down a deposit. That means, you know, I'm coming to pay the balance with a mortgage or, you know, with an inheritance. Wouldn't that be nice? You gotta believe, church. There might be an inheritance coming your way. Amen. It's a down payment. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. It's a token payment, guaranteeing that the full payment will be made. Since you and I are God's inheritance, the Holy Spirit is a seal of ownership, God's ownership on us. God gives us His Holy Spirit, not only as a guarantee of our inheritance, but also a foretaste that we will inherit God. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's a foretaste that God will come back to finish the job. He's a down payment that God is going to finish the good work that He started in us. Hallelujah. It affords us a taste beforehand of the full inheritance. You know, picture the prodigal son. You know, two sons, you know, had an inheritance that they were looking forward to. One said, just give me my inheritance now. You know, and he went and he wasted it. The other son was patient. And as far as the father was concerned, the inheritance belongs to his children. So, but God, in his wisdom, waits until we are mature enough, you know, to be able to handle that inheritance. Praise the Lord. In ancient times, you know, the Greek word for pledge was used in purchasing the land. And essentially, it's like a sample. You know, if you're going to buy a land, they give you a sample. You know, so you have a sample of that, of the land that you're going to buy. And that's what the word pledge means. And the picture here is that the Holy Spirit is like a sample. You know, we have a taste of God in us, that when Jesus Christ comes back, we will inherit God in full. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And, you know, the scripture that we just read is basically saying, look, I've given you my Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee that the redemption of the purchased possession to the glory of God. We have already been redeemed. But God's Spirit in us is what is saying that God is going to come back for us. Because He's already put down a down payment. Amen? He's already put a deposit. And He's not going to abandon His deposit. Amen? He's not going to lose His deposit either. Amen? Anyone ever lost a deposit here? It's not a nice feeling. But God is not going to lose His deposit. He's put a deposit down in us, that is His Holy Spirit. And that means that one day He's going to come back and He's going to transform this body of ours. Are you looking forward to the redemption of your body? That's what it's all about. It says, unto the redemption of the acquired possession. So He's coming back. A body that has no sickness, no death. Even the Bible says that the whole of creation is longing for that inheritance, the revelation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You know, Paul describes it as the transfiguration of the body in Philippians 3:21. So I cannot stress enough that the Holy Spirit in us is a guarantee that God will come back. And that this body of mine, this body of yours will be transformed, and that we will inherit God in full. You know, our body lets us down sometimes. You know, sometimes we're sick. Sometimes, you know, we just don't feel like it because we're limited. But when He returns, He's going to transform this body of humiliation like unto His glorious body. Hallelujah. That is what we're looking forward to. That is our inheritance. And I believe that that's why, you know, Paul prayed in the passage that we just read, that the eyes of our understanding will be opened. Because like I'm talking to you about your inheritance now, and you're all looking at me like, oh, it's not real. You know, it's not like, you know, land or property that you're going to inherit. But Paul prayed, you know, that God will give the church in Ephesus, and by extension us, in verse 17 of the passage we just read, says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. And he says that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Unless the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, we won't be able to really appreciate everything that God has given us in Christ. It will just be like we can only measure it in terms of how much money we've got in our bank account or material things. But when we really get hold of the fact that we're going to inherit God, that God has given us so much in Christ, it changes our outlook. But it takes being enlightened to begin to see it and to begin to lay hold of it. We have a rich inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, it says in the Bible, my God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But this inheritance, like I was trying to explain, is you won't be able to see it except by revelation, except by God opening your eyes to see in the scriptures what he has really promised you. That's why, you know, the passage that we read at the beginning, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you access and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. It is through his word that we begin to see how much God has given us in Christ. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 19 says something like this. He says, your commands are radiant, enlightening the eyes. When you begin to see with the eyes of your heart, wow, you'll be jumping up. Nobody's going to hold you down. You're going to be excited. And they're like, what's he shouting about? Why is he so excited? It's because he has gotten hold of the promises of God in Christ. Praise the Lord. In Christ, we have an inheritance which is imperishable. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Thank you, Jesus. It says, if anyone has got it, if they can read. Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. Hallelujah. It says that in Christ, when we were born again, we were born into a living hope. A living hope. And that this living hope is because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And then it says, into an inheritance. It's like being born into wealth. Hallelujah. We've been born into an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and cannot fade away, reserved, hallelujah, in heaven for you. So our inheritance here is being kept in heaven. It's linked to Jesus, the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again, and he has promised that because he lived, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we too have the hope of resurrection. Paul describes it as the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul was so excited, you know, about this, you know, discovery that, you know, when he was preaching to the nation, he's saying, look, you must have heard about the revelation that God gave me, you know, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. You know, he was writing to the Ephesians and he was so excited, you know, that God has done so much that even the nations can come and be part of what God has promised the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. But it's like being born into wealth but not being aware of it. Or someone writing, giving all their property to you in a will, but you not being aware of it. And the reason why we're not aware of it is because we're not into the Word of God. We're not reading our Bible. We're not excited about what God has promised. It's like the Bible is God's will. It's God's last testament. But until we open it and our hearts are enlightened, we will just be walking around like defeated, not knowing our portion, our inheritance in Christ. But when we begin to open the Bible, we begin to see, wow, I've been born into wealth, spiritual wealth, unsearchable riches that I can only access when I allow the Word of God to begin to build me up. To begin to open my eyes to say, wow, this is something, this is an inheritance that money cannot buy. Carrying on from 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that this inheritance is being kept in heaven for us, who are being kept by the power of God through faith for the salvation to be ready to be revealed in the last time. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. And it says, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Praise the Lord. This inheritance is the fulfillment of our hope in Christ. But we might be going through a difficult time, like the people that Peter wrote to in the first century. You're going through a trial, and you can't link the trials and difficulties that you're going through as a believer with having an inheritance in him. But Peter was encouraging them to not give up because of their trials, but to rejoice. He said, even though you haven't seen Jesus physically, you love him. You're excited, you know, because he has touched you, he has changed you, and he has made you alive. You're born again into a living hope. And that's what keeps us going, to know that one day we will receive the deliverance, the salvation of our soul. Our salvation will be completed. And I believe that that's why Peter said to the church, get ready. Prepare your minds for action. And that's in verse 13 of the same passage that I'm just reading. It says, therefore, get up the loins of your mind. Be prepared. Set your hope fully on the grace. It's like when you're looking forward to an inheritance, you know, your mind is set. I'm going to get that car. Or I'm going to get that house. But this is more than that. You know, God has promised us so much. You know, we read in the Bible about, you know, the apostles wondering who's going to be, you know, who's going to be on his right hand, who's going to be on his left hand. You know, and they were like, I'm the greatest, you know. And Jesus kind of just, you know, puts a young child and said, look, you know, if you want to be greatest, you know, this is what you got to be like. We've got to come with a heart of a child, you know, knowing that God has promised us so much. And we don't need to, there's no competition. You know, there's an inheritance reserved for each and every one of us as an individual in Christ. Amen? So we don't need to put anybody's nose out of joint. or, you know, push anyone off, you know, to get hold of our inheritance. There's an inheritance with your name written on it. Praise the Lord. So are you living in the hope of the reward that you're going to receive when Jesus Christ is revealed? That's the question. He said, set your hope fully on the grace, on the inheritance, on the reward that you're going to receive. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1, if you want a reference, that you're going to receive when Jesus Christ is revealed. Hallelujah. It is our destiny, it is our inheritance to share his glory. And, you know, this one really touched me because it's addressed to elders. But, you know, it's for all of us. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, Peter was writing and he says, the elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder. He says, you know, and as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and one who is going to share, who is going to partake in the glory to be revealed. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1. We are going to share in his glory. It's not just for elders, it's for everybody. Everybody who is a witness of Christ, everyone who is a believer in Christ, just like we are destined to follow Christ in his sufferings, we are destined to share in his glory. And that's something to look forward to, especially when you're going through a difficult time, when you feel like God has abandoned you, when you feel like, you know, it's not worth being a Christian, it's too hard. Keep your eyes on the reward. Keep your eyes on the things that God has promised you, and he will never fail you. And, you know, he said in verse 4 of the same passage, says that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. That takes us back to what we read earlier, which says we have an inheritance that will never fade away, incorruptible, undefiled. No inflation. No inflation is going to take away that inheritance. No thief, no breaking is going to touch that inheritance. Hallelujah. So that's something to hold on to. God has called us to share in his everlasting glory in Christ Jesus. And he's going to perfect all that concerns us. This again is our inheritance and portion, and is the real blessing of Abraham. You know, we sing, Abraham's blessings are mine. Amen. That is the inheritance, because Abraham's physical descendants, they already got the land. But it tells us that as believers in Christ, we come into the blessing of Abraham. And this blessing is more than just the land. It's all the riches of the seed of Abraham, that is Christ. It's all the riches that belongs to Christ. And there's a way that Paul describes it. He says, look, you know, you are heirs of God. Romans 8, you know, 17. You are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed you suffer with him, that you may be glorified together. That is our inheritance. And the Holy Spirit in you and me is a seal, is a down payment that we're going to get our inheritance. Praise the Lord. Just to wrap this up, how do I begin to experience and live in my inheritance? I've got a few thoughts that I wrote down. To participate in God's inheritance requires that we be sanctified, set apart. To be sanctified by the word of his grace, which we read at the beginning, that God's word builds us up and helps us to access the inheritance that we have. Acts chapter 20, verse 32 So the first step is to be set apart, which the Holy Spirit does, because the Holy Spirit is the set apart spirit. So the fact that the Holy Spirit is in you means you're already set apart, whether you know it or not. But when we know it, we begin to live in a way that, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why, you know, I think Paul says in Ephesians 4, you know, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Jesus prayed this prayer for us. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. That's how we begin to live in the inheritance. It's all in the word. But if we don't come into the word, if we don't draw close and begin to say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are your promises to me? We will be living like the person who's got, who has the whole of, you know, Buckingham Palace wheeled to them, but they are not aware. Number two, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since God has given us these amazing inheritance in Christ, to lay hold of it, we need to grow in Christ-likeness. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just going to give you the reference, which is 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, you know, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. He's given us so many great and exceeding promises. And then it begins to say that, look, for this reason, grow, add to your faith, you know, virtue, add to virtue, knowledge. So it's like you have an inheritance, but unless you grow, unless you're not going to take a car, you know, a Ferrari and give it to a five-year-old, they will destroy themselves. You know, we have to grow, we have to mature to begin to really enjoy and live in our inheritance. Remember, Christ in us, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. So we have to mature that Christ. Christ wants to be fully formed in us. Because to inherit our inheritance, we have to become more like Jesus. That's why God will not give his power just to anybody, because that power will destroy us. And, you know, the passage we read in Ephesians, it says that we may know the fullness of our inheritance, that we may know the incomparable great power that is available to us who believe. And Paul, you know, pursued this, you know, with passion. You know, in Ephesians, in Philippians, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And he says, forgetting what is behind. It's like, we think Paul has arrived, but Paul is like, I haven't arrived. I'm still going after Christ because he's promised me a reward. Praise the Lord. And finally, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Because those, it says in the scriptures, that those who do not walk by the Spirit will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5, Galatians 5:21, and many other passages, you know, it's talking about, it's addressed to us as believers. You know, the one in Corinthians says, you know, don't you know that the Spirit of God lives in you? And he's saying, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? So these are promises that God has made available to us. Well, he's calling us, you know, to walk with him. And we will begin to see and access the inheritance that he has for us. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the amazing, rich inheritance that you've given us in Christ. Just begin to thank him that you have an inheritance in Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the riches that you've made available to us. Father, I pray that you would help us as we leave this place today to begin to hunger and thirst for your word. So that your word will begin to build us up. So that we'll begin to know our place, our inheritance, our allotment in Christ. You've given us so much, but unless our eyes are enlightened, we are blind to what you have made available to us. Make these words, you know, real to us in our everyday life, that we have a portion in Christ, a portion that cannot fade, a portion that cannot perish, a portion that cannot be defiled, reserved in heaven for us, with our name on it. Hallelujah. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.